podcasting.
Episode 2.
This is the second week we're doing this. We're hoping to get better and better at it, hopefully.
Yeah.
I feel a bit more confident this week.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Sam.
Yeah. This is the painful pot explosion.
Yeah.
We've actually taken some... We're hoping to improve this week by week. We've already had some critique on the first episode. Firstly, don't play games while we're all doing podcasting, because it's very difficult to think and do stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
And secondly, silence the birds. Now, we can't silence the birds because that involves putting a cloth over them. And we live in a one-room house, basically.
Yeah.
So what we've done instead is take it to the quietest area of the house and hope that they don't get a bit annoyed that we're not giving them attention.
Yeah, well, they can hear our voices. That should hopefully
mitigate
them or something.
Yeah. And we've even got an agenda to things to talk about this week, as opposed to last week when we just kind of...
Having a conversation, yeah.
Having a conversation.
Well, that's what we were doing. We were talking and playing a game.
Oh, we can have a conversation while not playing a game. The video version of this week's podcast was recorded separately. It was just us bumming around on Minecraft again.
Yeah, well, it's mostly you digging the hole. I don't know if you really saw what I was doing, because I was just building up on the surface, so improving the spawn area.
It's basically an hour of resource collecting, so if you like some sort of video accompaniment to your podcast, then dig in. Otherwise, it's pretty much just an hour of me digging a hole.
Yeah.
There's some interesting bits in there.
Yeah, I think we'll find a game at some point to play that's not Minecraft, even if it's just us messing around on like a point-and-click thing or something.
Yeah, point-and-click thing, or at some point I'll do The Sims.
Yeah, that's that too.
I want to bring back my Sims world.
Yeah, although I don't know where all our Sims games have gone, so they're probably either buried at your house or my house or something. Well, parents' house.
I mean, Minecraft and The Sims are very similar in terms of just games you just spent hours and hours playing, so I quite like this format in that we've got an hour, so let's make the most of it. Go along as
obviously
we...
Minecraft is more of a adventure crafting game, whereas Sims is a sim, so there's that.
I don't know why it's so addictive, but it's one of those things where you just sit down and you just lose hours. You start, you think, I'll just do this. Oh, and then I'll just do this. And, oh, I'll just do this. And it's terrible. I can't stand the sort of thing where you're setting your own objectives, because there's just forever objectives, you know.
Yeah. I find it's a good game to play if you just want to kind of relax and shut down your brain for a bit, and you just kind of click and just kind of distract yourself rather than having to think too hard about anything. So yeah, sometimes you have days where you just want to shut off.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I've gone months before I don't play Minecraft, which feels like I like playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to spend an entire day playing Minecraft.
Yeah, there's that too.
Especially when the server decides just to eat your world as well.
Yeah.
And we must back up the server. That's...
Yeah, we'll have to do that at some point.
So it's going to be, it's an hour and 10 minutes of me bumming around a hole, pretty much.
Yeah.
But hopefully this conversation we're about to have is going to be a bit more structured and not so, hang on a minute, there's a creeper there.
Yeah, there's that too.
So, but we'll see. So, football.
Oh yeah, that thing we don't watch.
We know all about football.
Did you see that ludicrous display the other day? No, we didn't, because we didn't watch any of it.
So why are we bringing it up again? Oh yeah, right, because we're English.
Because we're English and we live for football. And
apparently.
We didn't watch any of it. I like watching football in a pub when there's everyone kind of crowding around to support the team, because you get that boost of energy from seeing, you know, the patriotism.
Yeah. Well, patriotism in England is a very strange thing, because we're very melancholy about it. It's like a case of, well, we want to support our team, but at the same time, we all know that our team is absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
Although this year, apparently, they've been slightly more rubbish than normal, because we normally get at least a level above where we've gone this year. So,
I just don't think the incentive is there.
No.
I mean, I've always said, you know my theory. It's basically you need the monetary incentive, because they're all being paid top wage anyway.
Yeah,
then they're going out onto the pitch, and there's not really a lot for them to kind of be working towards.
Yeah, then they'll go off and do like shampoo ads or shaving ads or whatever, so they're not even fully focused on the game anyway.
I don't want to spend an hour watching a bunch of overpaid, you know,
models
running up and down a pitch, not putting any balls in goals.
Yeah.
I've had several critiques to my theory about the monetization of the football, and originally I suggested that the main players should get paid a flat fee, and then they only get paid bonuses according to how many goals they score.
Yeah.
And then someone said, well, what about the goalkeeper? Because he's not scoring goals.
I guess it's... you had to kind of increase your criteria to do with, like, teamwork and how well they actually play by the strategy laid out and whether or not they've done any interesting inputs that could actually improve the other player's performance and that kind of thing.
Yeah, even when the defenders running up the pitch try and get some goals scored because they need their monetization bonus.
Yeah. It's obviously... Well, I think it's supposed to be different positions are supposed to have slightly different jobs or something because you've got your strikers and defenders and all that. But
and then
there's
the offside rule which comes in there somewhere.
Yeah,
no one understands the offside
rule. No one knows the offside.
Not even the people who claim to understand the offside rule.
Yeah.
I think it's just there basically so that you can't have the goalkeeper running up the middle of the pitch hoping to get the ball in the end of the goal sort of thing. But I adjusted it. I said, okay, well, the goalkeeper gets bonuses according to how many goals he saves. And they said, well... What if the ball doesn't come his end the entire pitch? That means he's going to get paid a flat fee with no chance of getting his bonus. So I thought, okay, we'll go the other way then. Everyone on the team gets paid a flat fee. And if they win, they get paid the bonus. Or they all get paid bonus. And I don't know, it's scalable maybe, depending on how good they play.
Yeah.
And then someone said, well, that's going to encourage cheating. And my answer was, yeah, and so? If we win... I don't see any problem with that, really. I mean, everyone likes Dick Dastardly and Wacky Races, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so basically, you're saying we should turn football into wrestling in the same way that there's some heels and good guys and people you can boo.
Well, I'm saying we should just turn and give them some incentive. And if the incentive, they think, right, we need to get our money this week, and there's no chance we're going to beat this team because they live, breathe, and shit football. Let's cheat, and as long as they don't get caught cheating, I'm quite happy for that to proceed.
Yeah.
The entire British Empire was built on underhandedness, so I don't see why we should stop now.
I thought one of the stereotypes of English is that we play by the rules and make a big harump for other people don't play by them. Or,
that's the other half. But then if we can get away with it, we will do.
Yeah, okay. Then harump and the other people catch us out and say, oh, well, that's not right.
The other thing about being British, Sammy, is that we're massive hypocrites.
Oh yeah, right, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, hopefully. I think that would improve football, just monetization. And, okay, you might get it a case where someone plays really, really badly, like the one player lets the ball through and the entire team loses. Well, it just means you're going to get kicking in the locker room, isn't it, really?
Yeah, what's that?
It's to encourage teamwork. And if that teamwork's very, very tense and very, very stressful, then brilliant. It means they're working for their fucking money, don't it?
True. True.
I think that's all we can say on that, really.
Yeah.
Unless you've got anything else about football, I don't know. I'd play rugby.
I don't know, I don't really watch sports these days. I was always a badminton girl when I was when I was little, but...
Not
necessarily I never really...
anything to watch, though, is
it? Yeah, well... I played a couple of tournaments and stuff, and it can be quite interesting to watch, because obviously it's like tennis, only a lot more fast-paced, so there's that, but I suppose it's not... the most thrilling sport to watch, but then most sports aren't all that thrilling.
No, but
it's one of those things that's better to play.
Do you like watching rugby? Because you don't watch rugby, do you?
I don't really watch any sport.
No, the only reason I watch rugby is because it's something to watch down the pub when you're having a drink with your old man sort of thing. But there's a bit more tactics to rugby, I think. You know, they're trying to figure a way around, and the only time rugby ever gets at its worst, I think, is usually in the Six Nations, where the teams will try and find a kicker who can boot it from the halfway line. It just turns into a big game of pass it to the guy with the really strong leg, quick.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only reason we wanted with Wilkinson that year. It's because he could boot it from the other side of the pitch.
Yeah.
And then there was a big uproar because obviously they'd wanted to ban it. You know, you should only be able to boot from a certain point. But he was just getting it from one end of the pitch, kicking it and getting it over the...
Well, it was a talent.
It's a talent, yeah, but it's not a very fair talent. And... Okay.
Well,
not...
that's the thing about being talented. It's not fair to the people who's not talented, so they're going to build up a fuss. But if you have the talent, you're going to use it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But it does get boring.
It takes a lot of work to maintain a good talent.
It does get. I mean, to be fair, Wilkinson, how many years was he playing? 5, 10.
Probably.
And then he was too old for it because it's such a short lifespan when you're a footballer or sportsman or any athlete, really.
Yeah.
It's a very, very harsh environment, I suppose. I mean, Rooney's pretty much on the way out, I think.
Yeah, though how long has he been around? It must have been a decade or so by now, surely.
A decade, if not. You know.
Yeah.
That's the lifespan of your average sports player.
Yeah.
It must be quite stressful. Well, and they make their millions anyway, don't they?
I mean, Beckham must have been around longer than that. He's kind of still around because he's knighted and doing all.
But he's a face, isn't he? He's more of a personality.
Well, that's but it's like for most of the football team, isn't it? Because they're faces that you. They're on all the trading cards, and you get them on in the adverts, and every other time when we go online, that sometimes I don't know if it's Google, YouTube, whatever, it's throwing out this Pepsi advert at the moment. That's all just it's for the World Cup. It's all this all our football players in really cartoony poses because making it look really exciting. When you know they've been kicked out like 2 weeks ago, they're still playing.
That's just terrible. I don't even understand the scoring system because it's sort of like they played two matches out there free and there was no chance they were going to win the third so well to get. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Yeah, something like that.
But sport, it's an unknown quantity. We're geeks. Mm. We don't do sport.
Yeah, we don't do sport. Gaming is our sport.
But all I know is that if you ever get a rugby match where both sides have got a kicker, it's just. Nothing worse, really. You're just watching this ball go back and forth. It's like watching a game of tennis. You might as well just have the two blokes kicking it back and forth.
Well, it's a game of tennis that, on occasion, has a chance of a ton of guys just piling on each other and beating the crap out of each other, isn't it?
I that's what I prefer at rugby. I prefer it to be, like, two teams of really burly men trying to get the ball past each other. And if someone could get a slight kick, then brilliant. But if you've only got two kickers on the pitch, they're just giving it to the kickers to do all the hard work.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
Kind of takes all the fun out of rugby. I think before we move off of football, there is... I don't know the name of the player. I don't follow players, but apparently one of the footballers been paying for this little boy's operation or something.
Oh, yeah.
Someone asked him what... Because he's got this hairstyle where he's had all his hair shaved back. And he's got like these lines all across his head, and he said, "What kind of, you know, someone accidentally kind of cut your hair in a stupid manner, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Was it an amateur attempt?" He's like, "Oh no, these are actually shaped like the scars of a little boy whose surgery I've paid for."
Huh.
And a little boy, he's like spent over $10,000 on this kid's surgery, which is really admirable. It's really nice when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you get paid a ridiculous amount of money, you might as well do something worthwhile with it.
And I'm not even sure if he's one of the top bracket players either.
No.
So, but you never hear like Wayne Rooney. Give it a bunch of cash to.
No.
Well, he might do.
Well, he might do, but it's not advertised that well because he's busy doing other things.
He hasn't got a very good publicist if he's giving away his cash.
Well, you would have thought if he's there doing all this charity work, then that's the kind of thing you want to capitalise on so he's become a bigger face and it's more of a thing to aspire to because, you know, that's the kind of thing your publicist is supposed to be promoting. So, you know, saying he's a really good guy. He's not, you know, biting other players.
Or in Rooney's case, he's not shagging grannies.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what he's going to be known for at this rate.
Hmm.
Or also being a Shrek lookalike.
Yeah, that too.
Which is a bit unfair, really.
But... Yeah, a bit unfair. You can't really help what you look like.
Anyway, that's the sport. It's enough of sport.
In other news.
In other news. Let's talk about what we've been playing, I guess.
Well,
I've been playing a lot of GTA 5.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5. It's a massive game, and currently I'm doing all the scavenger hunts because I'm an idiot. And I like punishment.
It's not so much that you're an idiot, it's more a case of a completionist.
I'm a completionist.
You want the trophies.
It's an OCD thing, I've got to collect them all. Got to collect them all, it's true.
Is this really going to turn into a Pokemon sing-along hour?
Yes. No.
No.
But every Grand Theft Auto game's got collectibles.
Yeah.
It's a thing they've always had in Grand Theft Auto, well, even in Grand Theft Auto 2 and 1, they had things you collect.
Yeah.
In Grand Theft Auto 3, it was hidden packages of drugs. GTA 5 City, it was the same thing, but they were statues.
Yeah.
San Andreas had...
Well, it had several different things for each city, because it was like, there was oysters hidden around in the water. There was hidden packages, there were... There's horseshoes.
Yeah, it was drugs for Los Santos, because that's the seedier side of things. Well, I say seedier, it had Vinewood as well, so that was the Hollywood rip-off. And then you also collected horseshoes for Las Venturas, which was Las Vegas, makes sense. And then Santa Fiera had the photographs, so it's sightseeing tour, and you're looking
for... Yeah, I kind of like the photograph one. Of course, they also had other things to collect, like girlfriends and whatever.
Yeah, that was all going towards 100%. But I'm talking about like the individual collectibles.
Yeah.
And I remember your brother gave me his copy of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas that time, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he couldn't find some of the horseshoes or something.
Yeah.
And I spent about an hour looking for this horseshoe because I was like, well, it should be here, right here is where I collected it. And then I asked, has he been using cheats? And he said, oh yeah, he cheats all the time, and that's the problem, because Rockstar build it in so that you can't get 100% if you cheat. They remove some of the collectibles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my brother. He cheats.
Well, you shouldn't cheat.
I think he doesn't normally go for 100%, so I think that one time was the one time I thought, oh, you know what, I'm going to play this game properly, but unfortunately he was playing from a save where he had at some point spawned in a gun.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto, it's not like, you know, there's a shortage of guns.
Well, I don't know if it was a gun or if he decided to just mess around with a tank or something, you know, just for a bit of fun, spawn in a tank, go on a rampage, you know, fun.
You got to be really careful with that sort of thing in Grand Theft Auto games, though, because if you're doing it on your save where you want to get 100%, they penalise you.
Well, I don't think he thought he would go 100% until he was about halfway through the game, so that's probably why.
That's fair enough. But the latest install... Oh, well, yeah, there's pigeons in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh, yeah, the pigeons.
Nico, I hate pigeons. I have this thing about pigeons. I hate pigeons. I must spend all of my time going and shooting pigeons. No, Roman, I cannot go bowling. I must kill pigeons.
He even went on the internet forums where there was pigeon collecting things. That was actually there on the in-game internet.
Yes. And that was ridiculous, especially since I was playing Grand Theft Auto 4 originally on a CRT television.
Oh, yeah.
And these things are bloody tiny. You know, looking for... Okay, there's a little red light given off by them, but they're still tiny. And some of the locations for them are ridiculous. There was one inside a building that you would never see unless you, like, helicoptered up there or something.
Yeah.
And then there was one in the airport, which was a restricted area, so the minute you step in there, you got, like, a 4-star rating.
Yeah, fun times.
I hated those pigeons. I actually did 100% GTA 4, technically. I haven't actually got the platinum trophy for it, because a lot of the online stuff is a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
I might have to ask your help for that, actually, at some point. Quite like to revisit that.
Yeah, one day we could do that.
But Grand Theft Auto 5 ridiculously has way too many things to collect.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought they'd bother with quite as many as they did.
But then they made it such a big place. I mean, I wrote a blog post about this. There's like a ream on this for length, you know, like paragraphs and paragraphs. It's basically an excuse. The art director says, well, we've put all this money into building this massive landscape. We've better make sure the player visits every single bloody inch of it.
Yeah,
you know.
It is really a pretty place, to be honest. We have spent many an hour online just exploring the desert and driving around.
It's lovely, but I've got to look for letter fragments for a mystery that was never solved because some woman was killed in Vinewood or something like that.
Yeah, celebrity lady.
I'm looking for spaceship fragments.
Yeah.
I've just collected all the toxic waste from the bottom of the ocean floor, which is a damn nuisance because it's on the radar, and bits of submarine from the bottom of the ocean floor. If I never see the bottom of the ocean floor of that game again, I will be a happy man.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising they spent so much time making you go visit the bottom of the ocean floor.
But it's because they've modelled it. Because some blokes modelled it, they said, we'd better be getting some use out of this because no one's ever going to see it otherwise.
Yeah, true.
And it is pretty down there, but it's not entertaining. It's not fun. It's not a fun thing to do, especially... Okay, I quite like the fact that they actually show you the stuff at the bottom of the ocean floor. Yeah. And kind of, they give you a radar, so it's not a case of having to go to the internet and then look up a map.
Yeah.
Unlike everything else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying that, I haven't actually checked the internet to see if there is a UFO map thing.
There probably isn't in games, because they normally put little details like that in.
I might have to check that, because at the moment I'm working off a combination of a video guide and a paper map I've printed off.
Yeah. But they did that in GTA 4 where there was all these maps you could look on the in-game internet. So
I hate when they do it and it's the point where they don't put the map in-game. You have to go outside to an external source, which is the internet, where someone else has presumably spent hours looking for these things.
Yeah.
And they put the guides together for you.
Yeah.
I prefer games where they actually build it into the mechanics, like Infamous. So you press the left stick down.
And you can sense all the things.
For a couple of seconds, you see all the ones around you. And so you're actually actively looking for them, and they play a role in the story, kind of.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But when they just throw them in, like the same with the bloody film reels in L.A. Noire, they were pointless.
Yeah.
I didn't see a single film reel up until kind of the last stretch of the game. And just to completely ruin the experience, this was supposed to be the log cabin of a murderer or something, so you're looking around for clues, it's really tense because you're thinking he might come back any minute, and then I go out on the front porch and there's this bloody golden film reel. I'm like, oh, okay, apparently he was a big fan of this film, you know, he left it on his porch.
Yep. Oh, well, murderers are synonymous for their love of classic filmography.
But it was jarring because you're out looking for murder clues on this guy's porch and suddenly there's a collectible thing. It's like, what the hell is this doing here? Who's leaving all these bloody film reels around? You can't view the things, they're just references the film noir just to give you an excuse to tool around 1940s LA.
Yeah.
Which was a really nicely built location. And I can see why they had to get squeeze a few extra inches out of the playability, but they must have been able to do something else. I think that game, just to go off a tangent, L.A. Noir was a 1940/50 style detective game, wasn't it? So it's basically film noir. Oh, I love that stuff, especially when you're a detective running around with a notebook, because it's like my favourite game of all time, Discworld Noir.
Yeah.
So you're doing things off your back, looking for clues, you're chasing suspects and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But the only problem is that it's such a massive game, they kind of overlooked the fact they could have done randomly generated mysteries.
Yeah.
That would have been excellent, because that game would have been going on for... You could have played that till the cows came home. If they had kind of like randomly generated these suspects and the murderers and all the rest of it sort of thing. And then the clues.
I think the reason why they didn't do that was because they were really going with the facial recognition software, weren't they? Cause then,
yeah, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, this... Because you had to be able to read people's faces and that when you were interrogating them.
Yeah, but the problem with that idea is that you've got an actor who's pretending to do everything anyway.
Yeah.
And I know humans...
I didn't say it was a good idea.
You were supposed to be able to naturally pick up whether someone's lying or not. But because they're acting, they are lying anyway. So they're acting to try and pretend they're doing an emotion while doing another emotion in some case.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they're, like... Even in some cases, you've got a guy doing a really squinty eye suddenly, you know, sort of thing. And if I can, okay, is that mean he's lying? Or
is that his tell?
Is that his tell? Or, okay, he's bleeding from the eye. Is that, no, okay. Casino Royale.
Yes, he's
squinting. Has he got something in his eye? And more often than not, it wasn't even a tell. It was a case of, you just completely misinterpreted it, because there's no way to tell. And also, it was very vague. Is it lie, truth, or maybe?
Yeah. always click maybe.
Thanks, maybe, yeah. Oh, there's this...
Maybe the murderer?
Maybe
just be a baker.
Yeah. Some of the videos online is just really schizophrenic, where the detective's just there saying, okay, we're just going to go through this calmly. You did it, didn't you? Bloody own up, and then suddenly he'll completely change tactics. Like, okay, I believe you. You're good to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But yeah, GTA 5, don't do the scavenger hunts like I am.
Unless you're aggressive for punishment.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the best scavenger hunt you ever had then in the game?
Best scavenger? I actually think Infamous is probably one of the better ones. It's not entertaining, by all means, the fact that you're running around looking for these bits and pieces, but they serve a point, they extend your energy bar.
Most of the time when you first start the game and you first have the option to sense these things out, it's a case, oh, there's something shiny over there, let's go get it. Oh, there's something shiny over there, let's go get it. And then you end up, about 10 minutes later, you're there with all these things collected and you're there thinking, well, I should probably get back to the mission now. Oh my god, shiny thing!
Yeah, and it actually increases your bar and everything.
Yeah, you get more powerful because of it.
I know Saints Row 4 ripped that off, because they had the energy code thing, didn't they?
Because
it's an AI program and you're collecting code in order to improve your character stats.
Yeah, you had to unlock the ability for it to actually turn up on your radar, though at first you could just see them, and then later on you've collected most of them.
But it was like 1,025 in that game, which was ridiculous, because that was way too many.
Yeah, I don't really know why they had to have so many of those.
Good scavenger hunts. I'm racking my brains. I quite like the ones Grand Theft Auto 3, I'll be honest, because Grand Theft Auto 3 wasn't a huge map. So you're collecting these drug packages, and they actually did serve a purpose, because every 10 it gave you a weapon spawned at your hideout.
Yeah, that was good.
So, and that's very useful in the early game if you were to spend the time collecting them, because then you've got a shotgun, a pistol, and a machine gun spawning at your base. Yeah. And at that point in the game, guns are quite rare to come by, so that's very useful. I can't think of many.
Enslaved? Do you enjoy that? Well, then again, that was mostly just those red blips.
No, I didn't enjoy Enslaved, because that was a mission-based structure. It wasn't a sandbox game, so it meant that if you missed them...
Yeah, you could go back to them.
I think it gave you a count for each level, though, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Somewhere, but you didn't realise that there was a count there until...
Later
it was,
on.
Like, hidden on the, in the menu somewhere.
Yeah.
So you ended up going back through and just go playing every level until you realised...
Yeah, some of them was really annoying, because you were in the middle of being chased by...
robots.
Yeah, well, really big robots at the time as well. So
yeah, like the
dog
sequence,
or,
yeah, the big
or the
dog
rhino
robot.
Or whatever.
Well,
Fallout you probably enjoy.
Fallout. What would you class as a scavenger hunt? Fallout 3. Or New Vegas.
Wasn't there any in New Vegas? I thought there were.
No, I hated the ones in Fallout 3 in New Vegas because they were bottle caps.
Oh, yeah, right.
Literally the size of a coin.
Well, it was just New Vegas that did that, wasn't it? I forgot about that.
New Vegas had... No,
but New Vegas was bottle caps, and in Fallout 3 it was like Nuka-Cola and stuff like that.
Nuka-Cola caps as well.
Well, it wasn't caps, it was just the bottles of Nuka-Cola.
That's it, bottles of Nuka-Cola, but very specific bottles of Nuka-Cola. Mostly in locations swarmed with mutants that are far too powerful for you to deal with.
Yeah.
Dick move.
Yeah.
But no, the bottle caps was ridiculous. You got 51 specific bottle caps. I think they made it like there were 60, just in case you lost any. But these are like things so tiny that without a guide, there's no way in hell you'd be able to find them.
No. Okay.
It's not like there was a hidden cache somewhere where you just find 50 odd. There's like one, maybe two bottle caps on the desk somewhere,
yeah,
in some office hidden away in some building in the middle of the desert sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, scavenger hunts aren't really something that you get in PS1 era. There's no scavenger hunts in that game, I don't think.
No. Well, they only really started doing it when
sandboxes
became a thing, and the bigger and more expansive they were, the more, well, as you said, the more they need to show off certain areas that you otherwise wouldn't go. I mean, that in most of the games I've played, there aren't really that many scavenger hunts, you know, ranging from Pokemon to Tomb Raider. Well, again, in the new Tomb Raider games for the PS2, they started doing scavenger hunts, but they were just, like, artifacts.
And the latest one as well, but that was just because it was doing the Uncharted thing.
Yeah.
Which I like the Uncharted stuff, you know, you're collecting these little things and it's just treasure hunting, you know.
Yeah, and you can look at the models for it in the menu and stuff, but some of them's quite interesting.
Shame we don't serve any purpose, but at the same time, you know.
I guess it was slightly better in Tomb Raider because you'd actually describe what it is and then what it was used for, and you might actually learn something from it, so it's a bit educational, but you don't really get that in Uncharted. This is a case, oh, here's a thing.
I can't honestly think of any other scavenger hunts worth mentioning, really.
No.
But that was a divergent topic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Grand Theft Auto, the infamous scavenger hunt king.
yeah.
But the other thing we've both been playing is Grand Theft Auto Online, because GTA 5 comes with the online component.
Yeah, that's actually really good, because there's so many missions in it, and so many races and side things to get distracted by, or if you can't be bothered with that, you can just run around and kill each other.
And the character customization is excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, we've based it on a couple of our comic characters, haven't we? So.
Well... I wouldn't really say excellent just because it's not in depth. It's just that's a genetic system where you pick your grandparents and your parents,
yeah, okay,
and you get a.
The facial
build,
side of
so.
It's a bit iffy.
Yeah.
But the clothes option is pretty good.
Yeah, the clothes option is pretty good.
Not as good as Saints Row, obviously.
Yeah.
Saints Row is the king of the
customization. Yeah. More games should be more like have a customization thing like Saints Row, but at the same time, I don't think they have the memory for it. So.
No, I mean, even the it's more. Just think of the pain they have to go through having to record 6 different voice actors.
Well, they don't need to go nuts with the voices because you don't really hear the voices that often. Like, even in GTA, they don't. Your character's completely mute, and I don't mind that. It's just it's nice to be able to have your character look like however you want.
Yeah, but I don't know. I quite like the fact that you make them sound how you like as well.
Yeah, but then Saints Row is a bit different than an online thing, just because you've got all the story stuff as well.
That's true.
Running around being Cockney and all that, you actually had a proper character there who was actually interacting with the world, whereas obviously in online mode you're just killing people.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But we've had a lot of fun with it. Typically of any Grand Theft Auto online game, it's a case of it's a bit potluck depending on which server you spawn, depends on how likely you're going to be gunned down by psychopaths. You're just
naturally,
because most people who play GTA online play like they do single player GTA, so they just kill everything that moves.
Yeah, they get the occasional player who's just who's not there to kill with people, who's just kind of trying to improve his character or just going shopping or whatever.
And we play with the chat turned off, don't we? So
yeah,
you don't know if the guy approaching you is trying to say, hey buddy, could be.
Well, they have tried to change the radar so it actually displays the psychopaths versus the guys who are just being peaceful.
Yeah. So basically, if you commit acts of violence, if you blow things up, if you shoot things, then your blip on the radar goes redder and redder. So that helps you identify
who the psychopaths on the server are.
Yeah.
And more often than not, if you've got a red dot following you, it means
you're about to die.
You're about to die. And they're probably after your cash.
Yeah, most of well, sometimes it's not even that. It's just a case of they decide to steal a helicopter with missiles in it, and they're just going around killing anything that moves, and so they can't even get your cash. They're just killing you because you're there.
I think the worst example was the time I pulled out of my driveway in my swank sports muscle car, and you find a tank rumbling up the street. Yeah. And I just paused because there's not really much else your brain can think of to do when you're presenting with a tank, and it just nonchalantly turned its gun towards me and blew me up, which was Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. 50 ways to die on your trip to the store to buy milk.
Yeah, that's it, precisely. But I do like all the various missions that you got for it, so like the motorbikes and motorbike races and car races.
Do we dare talk about some of the stuff we've gotten up to, like our best stories from GTA?
You can if you can think of any.
Well, what about the time the other day with the
Oh yes, well, in the game you can buy these things called sticky bombs, and I love them because it's basically a wadge of C4 that you just throw, and it latches itself onto anything really, and then you press a button and it just blows up. So Sam was spending way too long inside the shop trying to find the new outfit.
Well, I have to try and look as smart as you do, dear. Otherwise, I bring down the tone.
That's it. Bring down the tone of the our little group. We have standards. You know, criminals should have standards. So I was getting bored, and I thought, you know, I wonder if I just put a sticky bomb on the bike that she owns, just parked outside the store, would she notice the little flashing red dot? And wouldn't it be quite funny, in a jovial manner, if she happened to explode randomly when driving it? So I put this C4 on the bike, and then I noticed that there's a guy coming towards the store.
It was a guy I had actually run into earlier in the session, but Sean hadn't known that.
I didn't know this at the time, so I just thought, oh,
I'd just been driving around, and he just kind of buzzed me a couple of times to actually interact with me.
I see where this is going. He's going to walk into the store and shoot her. I can't have that. So I walk around the corner, wait for him to go up to the front of the store and just blow up the bike. And Sam's like, what the hell's going on outside? I think the guy was trying to make friends, to be fair.
Yeah, I think he was trying to be friendly.
Couldn't take the risk, Sammy. Couldn't take the risk. He had to go.
Yeah. What the risk of me making friends with some strange man?
No, we can't have that. So that was brilliant. I did like that. And he was so annoyed because he didn't know where it came from. And
yeah. So you get into a bike, whereas I'm just naffed off because I absolutely adore my bike. I love that bike. So I was pissed off. So they're having a gun battle, and I just decided to get out a sniper rifle and start taking pot shots at Sean because
that wasn't very nice.
You blew up my bike.
Yeah, but I was trying to save you from the nasty man who was
the nasty man. He was just a friend. He just wanted to race.
And then there was, I think I ended that session, or possibly a subsequent session, by latching bombs onto my own car.
Yeah, that was the same session. It was just a case of every time someone approached you, you blew up your car in order to tell them to bugger off.
Well, my car's very cheap to replace because there's an insurance system in GTA Online. Yeah. And I got two cars. I got a really expensive Aston Martin DB5, complete with the machine guns on the front. And that thing cost $4,000 to replace. And then I got my sports muscle car, which only costs about $187, so I can blow up as many of those as I like.
Yeah. Then you complain to me when you don't have any money. It's like, well, you did just blow up your car about 15 times in a row, dear.
I have a slight addiction to modding cars. I just can't help it. I think, oh, I'll save up for a new apartment or something, and then I just blow it all on a new car.
Yeah, I admit I've done that a couple of times, but that's just because... Well, I think the last time it was because we'd been doing races, and Sean's been trying to make his muscle car slightly better, so that means we have to keep doing muscle car races.
Which you love.
So I decided, well, you know what, I'm going to buy myself a muscle car just so I've got something to select when we're in there and I don't have to keep searching for the same thing. So I ended up just modding the hell out of that. I think at the end of it, I didn't have any money left, so I was thinking, well, I wanted to buy a garage, didn't I? Why have I just done this? I don't even like muscle cars.
No, they can't turn. It's a typical American car, you know, it doesn't do turning.
Yeah.
It just skids out horribly at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. So which is why I drive my bike around, even though it means people can just shoot me in the head.
They're very good for long distance driving though.
Yeah. My bike does everything.
Apart from protect your head.
Well, I like to live dangerously.
I suggest you hit, sir.
I'll stay.
20 is your 5. Yep. Anyone listening to this will have no idea what we're on about.
It's Austin Powers. It's the universal. Talk about Wayne's World last week. It's just, you know, bring us some Austin Powers.
I think Mike Myers has got a lot to answer for. I'm pretty sure our entire generation is just built on Mike Myers references.
Yeah, there was a point when we were 11 where you just go into school and everyone was just making Austin Powers jokes. So that's what you do.
That's it.
Anything else about GTA Online?
No. I think we've covered it.
I think the pricing is a bit steep.
Yeah, pricing is a bit steep.
But they do it on purpose so that you spend money on in-game dollars.
Yeah.
Which I shamefully have done before.
For GTA? I know you've done it
GTA,
for Uncharted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was when they had that, they had the Valentine's Day Massacre sale, or whatever it was, so they suddenly introduced a load of 1920s-style clothing. And I'm a sucker for that. I didn't have any cash in-game, so I was like, okay, I'll spend the fiver.
Okay.
So.
As you do.
Shameful. I'm a DLC whore, basically. Watch Dogs?
Well, I've only played for about an hour or so, so I've only got the sinister first impressions. And of course, Sean hasn't played it all. He's just been watching me play it.
So. I've seen footage in that game of a spider tank.
I have not got that far.
No.
So you're just giving me spoilers now.
Spoilers, but I think it's not a real life.
No, well, there are mini game. So you go around and there's these bits of graffiti on the floor. If you step over there, then you use your phone to turn into a virtual reality game.
Augmented reality.
Yeah, augmented reality. Yeah. There you go. That's the term. So there was a point where I was essentially just playing Space Invader. It's in the middle of this plaza. So there was some portals opening up and random aliens were coming out and I was just shooting these aliens.
With your phone.
Yeah, with my phone, while random people stared at me, thinking, what the hell is that guy doing?
I thought that was quite funny, actually. Yeah. I was like, what the hell is that guy? What's wrong with that guy?
Yeah. Although I'm expecting that. Well, I'm assuming the whole augmented reality thing is quite a common thing, considering every other place. Well, these open area, very public places have these little graffiti things on, so I'm guessing this is something that happens quite often. It's random gamers, you know, nerds.
It's supposed to be the way of the future, apparently, augmented reality. Yeah. It's the next step. Yeah. That's where Google Glass is going to come into play.
Yeah, and what's the other one that was there? The
Oculus Rift.
Oh, there you go.
I don't think we'll be walking around with those on our faces.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Well, that's more of a game you just play in your living room, but you're just there with goggles on, just interacting with stuff. One day that's going to be The Sims, just you talking to some random person.
All I know is that if it ever gets to the point where I'm as much of a douche as the guy at Watch Dogs, I think society just needs to stop.
Is the guy from Watch Dogs really a douche? Cause,
well, you see the way he dresses.
Well, that's... Well, from what I've seen so far, he doesn't really have much of a personality at all. He's just there trying to...
Isn't he just an extension of his phone?
Yeah, he's just an excuse to hack, really, because he's... Basically, his storyline is someone's decided to try and scare this guy off from being a hacker or whatever he's been doing. And then, so this guy comes in and tries to scare him while he's driving, but he doesn't realise that the guy's niece is in the car with him, so... our hacker guy crashes and the niece dies, and so our hacker spends however many months trying to work out what's just happened, and the game basically takes off from there as he gets his first proper clue, and then it's basically you taking down the guy who killed your niece. And it is a bit weird because the niece's mum has actually moved on properly. She seems to be perfectly well adjusted and normal, whereas the main character is basically a guy trying his best to be Batman.
I knew you were going to say that. I was just thinking that it sounds so much like, oh, excellent, I've got an excuse to have a tragic backstory.
Yeah. he even does the Batman voice, sort of, I think. He is talking in a very deep voice all the way through it. It's just kind of weird.
Where's the phone charging point? Where is it? Where are we?
Where's your access point?
Where's the wireless?
Yeah.
I haven't got a 3G signal. Where is it?
Yeah. Alright, admittedly I didn't play that far into the game. I did a couple of missions and then got distracted by all the phone tower things you get, where basically you plug in and you access this network and suddenly you can get new safe houses and unlock all the extra mini-game stuff.
What's the scavenger hunts like that?
I haven't actually found the scavenger hunts. I think the scavenger... I don't know exactly what the scavenger hunts are in this game. I know there's all these augmented reality things, so I think that's the main thing, but it's also the vigilante missions and stuff. So every so often you get a... Well, basically you can hack random people that's in the street and then you can use that to stop crimes or whatever. So... Well, not really, because every time I've got one so far, I turn up, and then you have to find the criminal, and the criminal always spots me before I spot them. Because you're just there, kind of wandering around, saying, well, is that the guy? Is that the guy? And then suddenly, oh, the criminal's found you, he's not going to commit his crime now. It's like, well, how do you know I was looking for him? I'm just some random guy.
Yeah, but you're quite clearly dressed like Batman.
Well, I haven't got the ears.
I haven't got the ears.
I'm actually just dressed... I just changed the guy's... coats look like a trench coat, and anyone can wear a trench coat. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a vigilante.
I'm still waiting for the inevitable DLC where you can play as Altair from Assassin's Creed or Ezio.
Well, you haven't really got all the free running stuff or whatever in this game. It's mostly you just walking around and saying, "Hey, I can hack something here," and suddenly something explodes because you just shorted out a electric box or something.
I will be honest, as far as I can tell, they didn't even need the storyline. They could have just had a floating phone. Just to have a phone randomly floats around and hacks things. Because that's the entire gameplay.
Yeah, even when I'm just driving around, like wherever you come to traffic lights or a bridge, the option to hack suddenly comes up, and I just... there go, oh, let's see what this does, and of course then you just end up with random traffic piling up. You just barely avoid crashing because you just set all the lights to green. It's like, oh, I should not have just pressed that then.
It basically just be a public nuisance.
Public
nuisance.
I don't know
simulator.
If it changes later in the game and you've unlocked more stuff and you actually got people after you properly or whatever, but I don't know, at the moment it's just me being a nuisance, hacking into random people and stealing lots of money from their bank accounts
personally. Yeah.
That's
I can't
thing
wait
do.
For that app myself.
Really. Like, huh, money.
I'm looking forward to the Stop Traffic app. I'm looking forward to all the apps that Ubisoft are advertising in this game. I assume they're going to release them at some point. Well, I don't get it. Apparently they called in an expert to discuss these hacking things.
Well, I think although your hacker guy is supposed to be very good at his job, he's only good at like aspects of it because he needs
pressing
to be
buttons.
Yeah, because I think before he can hack, he needs to be locked into this one security system absolutely everyone is using. So apparently Chicago only uses the one network for absolutely everything, and it's
that sounds like a clever idea.
Yeah, it's not.
distributed systems aren't the way forward then.
No, you just need one big system that. If you can find one access point, then that's it. You're pretty much buggered.
Oh, excellent.
Well, so, yeah, that's the game.
The future's bright.
Yep.
And looks it.
In Chicago, anyway. I don't know if it's... I think other cities haven't adopted this one model yet. They're still on the old model that isn't quite as, full of holes.
Sweet home, Chicago.
Yeah.
I think that's it for games, really. I have just downloaded the weekly Humble Bundle.
That had all the Sherlock Holmes stuff on it, didn't it?
I love the Sherlock Holmes games so much. Even though they are stupidly difficult at times.
Yeah. For those who don't know, so far, the Sherlock Holmes games they started off quite simple. That it was like the Curse of the Lost Earring and stuff like that.
Curse
and then,
the Lost Earring.
I forgot what the first one was.
The Mystery of the Silver Earring.
There we go.
No, that was the first one. That was the sequel to the Mummy's Curse.
Okay, so
it's
the Mummy's Curse, then the Silver Earring, and then suddenly it was Sherlock Holmes versus Cthulhu.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Followed by Sherlock Holmes versus
Arsène Lupin.
Yeah, which of course,
Gentleman French Thief.
Yeah.
We spoke about his grandson last week, but this is basically two literary classics going up against each other.
Yeah,
I don't know the name of the French author, but there was a French author who created this character, Arsène Lupin, who was a detective gentleman thief. And the idea was that he was
he basically his response to Sherlock Holmes saying, "Well, the British have got this cat who's an amazing detective. I'm going to create someone who's better than Sherlock Holmes, and yeah. he's also amazing because he's a gentleman thief at the same time."
Yeah, Leopold was great.
Yeah, that was a funny one, yeah. especially since one of the things he stole was a kiss from the Queen.
Yeah,
that was random. So
I think the note he left to announce his crimes, because this is what he does. He announces what he's going to do, and before just to see if the police will try and stop him, and so then he can go up against them. So the note he left was basically made it sound like he was going to try and kidnap the Queen. Of course, then he shows up in a bedroom and says, "So, you want a kiss?" And then he just disappears into the night.
Not nearly French enough, dear. Madame, you want a kiss?
I can't do accents. You know this.
Of course, he doesn't sound like Inspector Clouseau like I just made out.
Yes.
Yes, madame.
he's a... Lupin's a bit more suave than Clouseau. The most recent one that we haven't actually played yet. Well, it's not the most recent one.
The most recent one was a straight-up Sherlock Holmes adventure. Yeah. I can't remember what it was called, actually.
Well, that was the one on the PlayStation. That was the... I'm trying to...
The name
is the one before it. Was the one we haven't actually played.
The one before it is the one I'm looking forward to playing tonight, which is Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting.
I've seen clips of it, and you got, like, Watson lying on the floor pretending to be one of the bodies, and Sherlock's on top of him with a knife trying to recreate the murder sort of thing. It looks ridiculous, but it's very, very good fun.
I'm expecting it to be a little bit jarring, considering it's, this... Well, it's suddenly going to get really, really... I know, it's going to be like that all over again, where it's just suddenly really gritty, and
Sherlock Holmes doesn't really do gritty.
No.
It's usually like a
especially
absconding...
Especially after the Arsene Lupin one, which was kind of...
That was a bit wacky.
Yeah, that was wacky, but kind of a fun romp, and suddenly, oh my god, these dismembered a prostitute. It's going to be interesting.
But the Sherlock Holmes games are built by Frogwares, which I swear used to be a British company. But now I found out they're actually based in Czech Republic. I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to see where it turns out. I've cocked up the location. It's actually Czechoslovakia or something.
Yeah, it's one of the
two. Are they the same place?
We don't do geography, do we?
I'm an ignorant Englishman. I don't know anything beyond Dover.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very good series of games.
Yeah.
Just sometimes I have really stupidly difficult puzzles in them, like Sudoku puzzles.
Yeah.
That you have to ask the entire office how to solve in your workplace.
Well, did you do that with the last game?
I did that.
Okay.
Yeah, I took it in because I thought, well, if I can't solve it, I'll take it in and see if other people can get it. And between about five people, we managed to solve it.
So. Again, there was a couple that was ridiculously easy that you thought was hard, but it turned out the clue was actually written right underneath the puzzle, actually in the artwork.
That was it, yeah.
Yes. I don't know what I'm supposed to be using as a code thing here. It's like, well, it says 5 underneath there. What does that mean? Oh.
Oh, that's the code. Yeah, good series of game.
Yeah.
Frogwares.
Yeah, recommend it.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you listen to this and it's still on, get the Humble Bundle, because it can contribute to charity at the same time.
Yeah.
It's always a good cause.
Always a good cause.
Also, free games.
Yes.
Now do for games, I think, because we've already got about 20 minutes left, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We didn't watch any films this week, did we?
No, we didn't. Or I think there was probably something we were intending to watch, because we've got the Mel Brooks collection. We were going to watch one of the things.
Yeah, there. I mean, we've watched Young Frankenstein fairly recently.
I watched Monty Python's Meaning of Life just on my day off, but you weren't around for that. But
why would you watch that film?
Because
it just, my brain just shunted me then. I thought, hang on a minute, Meaning of Life, that's the really, really horrible one.
Yeah.
How far did you get?
I just had it on in the background while I was doing my digital painting, but I made it all the way through, but at the same time, I know I've seen it before, but there was so much I couldn't remember from the first time, because it was so surreal. Like the entire first bit, where it's kind of like the pre-movie thing, that's, I don't know if they normally show it on TV or something, but it's suddenly a load of accountants go crazy and become pirates and manage to sell their building all the way over to America and start raiding corporate American skyscrapers and things. It's very strange.
There's so many bits of that film that just make me feel ill. Mr. Creosote, every sperm is sacred.
How did it make me feel? It's just kind of weird because you get all these Catholic children just running around just singing about not wasting any sperm.
The sex education segment.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
The tainted, was it spam at the end or salmon? Oh, I thought the salmon tasted a bit off.
I didn't even see the spat salmon.
That was quite good. I quite like the ending bit though.
Yeah.
Christmas in Heaven or something.
Yeah, that's random.
Or the best bit of that is in between the really horrible sequence with the people repossessing that man's kidneys.
Yeah.
There's like halfway through this really horrible segment where you got these do you remember there was that film Repo Man, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Or Repo the Genetic Opera, where you got these dudes like cutting people open to get back the organs they can't afford to pay for.
Yeah, and in this one it's more a case of he put his name down on an organ donor card and they just came over to collect. It's like, but I'm not dead
He's
yet.
Not
well,
dead
we'll
yet.
Soon fix that.
And then they say, well, Mrs. Brown, I think we better explain it to you like this. And Eric Idle steps out of the car and starts singing.
Well, it's a case of saying, well, you're going to be lonely now that he's not around. Or are you going to move on? It's like, oh, no, I'm too old for that. Well, do you want to give us your liver? So then they go on this whole advertisement thing saying, well, before you make these decisions, maybe you listen to this. And of course then Eric Idle comes out singing his little song.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, things seem hard or tough. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a very good song.
I can listen to that song any time. It just makes you think, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
All the bullshit. Just doesn't matter, really.
Nah, not in the long run.
Bugger all down here on earth. So you watched a film then?
Yeah, I watched a film.
I broke my pledge to watch a new film every week.
Yeah.
We did watch The Archer though, didn't we?
We watched The Archer.
Oh, hay fever season. Just nose is so blocked.
Yeah. Gotta love summer.
Archer. So Archer is a TV series, adult cartoon series.
Yeah.
About a secret agency, isn't it, called ISIS?
Yeah.
And it focuses on the main character, Sterling Archer, and his relationship with his mother, who runs the company.
Well, his mother and his colleagues.
Ex-lover, who was also his co-worker.
Yeah.
And all the colleagues. And everyone, I think the main point of that show is that everyone is apathetic towards everyone else.
And that's slightly insane.
I never understood why you liked Archer so much, because it's basically James Bond with the brakes turned off.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I like it, because it's more interesting than Bond, because obviously the protagonist Archer is a complete asshole, and then you got Lana who was originally his love interest before the series started, and then of course then she, well, they had history, and then now she basically just absolutely hates him, and she's quite an interesting character. And then, well, I think especially the side characters that make it. I mean, I absolutely love Mallory, Archer's mum, because she's just such a bitch and all that.
I think my favourite is Dr. Krieger.
Oh, yeah. It's Krieger, isn't it?
Dr. Krieger, sorry. Yeah. I can never remember his name.
Krieger.
Dr. Krieger and his mad science. And the fact he operates out of a really seedy van.
Yeah.
I highly recommend Archer, though. I'm not going to go on length because I can't. I'm not going to, don't want to spoil any of the jokes.
Incredibly funny.
I think we're a bit short, actually, unless you can think of.
Well, is it, what movies have we watched, for the last month or so that we haven't actually talked about?
Well, we mentioned Mel Brooks. Obviously, we watched Young Frankenstein, which is hilarious. Young Frankenstein, sorry, I said his name wrong.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
With Gene Wilder, Marty Feldman, in his iconic role as Igor, sorry. Because Frankenstein turns up and he says, it's pronounced Frankenstein. Get it right, Igor. Actually, it's pronounced Igor. And then Blazing Saddles, which is...
Yeah. What was that other Mel Brooks movie we watched? Oh, yeah, Sherlock Holmes, Smarter,
that's
Younger Brother.
That's not actually a Mel Brooks movie. That's a Marty Feldman movie.
Yeah, but it's part of the Mel Brooks collection for some strange reason.
It's not part of the collection. That's the DVD we bought separately.
Oh, yeah. I keep getting confused with that. It's just... because we were presenting with a Mel Brooks collection. I think it was your birthday present.
Yeah.
And at the same time, your dad gave us another Gene Wilder movie. And I keep just putting it in with the other one because...
It's because it's got the cast. Blazing Saddles was the Young Frankenstein in it. It's got Marty Feldman, Gene Wilder... And the woman whose name I can never remember from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
But it feels like a Mel Brooks movie, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Hop, very hop, do the bunny hop.
Yes. Yeah,
just random
very
musical
strange.
Settings for it. I like that film a lot.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Moriarty is pretty good in that.
Yeah.
But no, we got the Mel Brooks collection. I was yesterday going to watch. We were going to watch History of the World Part 1, which you've never seen, have you?
No, I've never. Well, I haven't seen most of the Mel Brooks movies outside of the main.
It's a bit like The Meaning of Life, actually. History of the World Part 1.
Yeah.
In that it's a series of small sketches based around different eras.
Yeah.
So you get the Romans.
I assume that.
And then there's a dance segment for the Spanish Inquisition. Torquemada, Torquemada you! And I think it ends on a cliffhanger of some sort, I believe.
Yeah.
It says coming up in part 2, which never was a part 2. That was the joke.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks did it specifically so that everyone would say when's part 2 coming out.
Yeah. It's like, never.
It's also so that he wouldn't have to say what his next movie would be, because everyone would assumed it was the part 2 to this thing he'd done.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of other stuff in the collection as well, which I've never heard of.
Yeah.
I think there's a silent film in there.
Yeah, a silent movie.
Which I looked at it, and it reminded me a lot of. Have you ever seen The Plank?
No.
Which is a classic British comedy. I think they've remade it 2 or 3 times. I think Tommy Cooper was in one of the versions.
No, I haven't seen it.
The Plank's basically an extended slapstick comedy about two workmen trying to get this plank across the worksite.
Oh, yeah.
And through various means, it ends up like it gets caught on trucks, and then they're hanging off of it, off of buildings and stuff like that. But that might be a film we have to watch at some
point.
Yeah,
I have to watch that.
The Planks. I don't even think it's that long. I think it's about 45 minutes. But it's amazing what you can do with a bit of wood.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Hey!
Well, possibly he said.
That's what they both said.
Yes.
I got quite a lot of stuff to watch. I got like the Noir collection downstairs as well.
Yeah, really, we haven't got around to doing that.
We've just got so many films to watch, and we just can't be bothered.
Not enough time.
I think we prefer being more proactive, don't we?
Yeah, normally I like to keep my hands busy.
That's what he said.
Well, the rest of the podcast has descended into
just
that's
innuendos.
What they said.
Yeah.
The jokes.
Yeah. No, I prefer being proactive. I mean, people assume that games are still for kids and the rest of it.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, I think they are,
right? It's antisocial and all that, but it's actually incredibly social and it keeps your brain busy.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you can sit back and watch a television show and just veg, or you can be a part of the show that's on the screen. The graphics these days, it's just, you know,
it's like you're actually in the game.
You're in the television program.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing Metal Gear Solid, in which case you're spending 2 or 3 hours at a time watching a film.
Yeah.
But we won't divulge into Metal Gear Solid again after last week.
Again.
Although that's the film I did watch. I did watch all the cutscenes for the first one again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you string them all together, there's about 3 hours worth there. So.
Yeah.
I watched the Twin Snakes version from the GameCube.
Yeah.
When they remade the original. But it wasn't directed by Hideo Kojima, the remake. So you got these random segments where The Matrix must have come out a few years before. Because suddenly Solid Snake's doing these backflips. Diving out the way of...
Oh, yeah. It was around the time of Matrix, wasn't it?
But it's just weird, because there's all these extra bits that weren't in the original game, in the cutscenes. I think if anyone's going to try Metal Gear Solid, they should just play the original PlayStation 1. Put up with the blockiness and the tank-like controls.
Yeah. They're going to keep using the, was it N6? GameCube version, wasn't it? They're going to keep using that for all the cutscenes when the... doing flashbacks in the later games.
Well, you think that, but they don't.
They
use the PS1 cutscenes.
Oh yeah, they did.
Because that was the Hideo Kojima.
I thought in MGS2 or something they used the GameCube.
Nope, that was all freshly animated stuff that they used to fool people buying the game to think it was.
Ah, okay.
Featuring those scenes never actually appeared.
Tricky guy, that Hideo
Tricky
Kojima.
Tricky guy, that Kojima. But no, the only time I think they've ever used any of the Twin Snakes stuff is the flashback in some of the later games. Rather than use the original ninja's voice, they used the one from the remake.
Oh yeah,
I'm riveting you here. Sam's just falling asleep.
I'm not falling asleep. This one yawn does that mean
I'm
falling asleep?
Yeah, new voice. Yeah. Okay, solid. Good stuff. Yeah, sorry, Snake. Yeah.
See. When are we going to talk about Pratchett or something, since we've been listening to his audiobooks?
I think we can talk briefly about Pratchett, because I think we've got 10 minutes left. So Now, I don't want to talk about the latest one because you haven't heard it yet.
No, I haven't finished that.
Shay Pratchett's done, I think, 40 books now.
Yeah.
That's a lot of books to read. And even I haven't read all of them. I think I've read about 20 odd of them.
So we've started collecting the audiobook versions of the Watchmen stories.
This podcast isn't sponsored by audible.co.uk, but I would like to put a good word in for audible.co.uk because it's such a very good service.
Yes.
You pay $7.99 a month and you get a free audiobook every month. There you go.
Yay! Give us money.
Give us money. Sponsored by Audible. Well, we didn't get the money from last week from the video player that we were using for the Minecraft thing, so I thought we'd get a plug there.
Yeah,
but no, we're collecting. Just talking brief about what Discworld's about, because I think the synopsis kind of puts a lot of people off.
Yeah.
It's about a flat world, a disc-shaped world, on the back of four elephants, on the back of a turtle flying through space.
Which sounds very surreal.
And that puts a lot of people off right there. Like, yeah, that's enough, thanks. Just surreal.
In the end, their world is actually situated, it doesn't actually matter. It's what happens in the main city and some of the other areas that actually matter.
Just the setting, because you get all the all the stories within it.
Yeah, so at the moment, there's like mini series amongst the main series. There's the Watchmen stuff, the Wizard stuff. We've got Moist von Lipwig. He's got a couple.
Con Man.
So that he's got three books at the moment.
The Grim Reaper. He's got his own series.
Yeah.
His granddaughter's got his own series.
Well, she's sort of
Grim
attached
got granddaughter.
To the Grim.
It's
Grim
complicated.
Stuff,
she's adopted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he adopted her parent, and then he had an assistant for a while. So that's what that was.
But if
genetics doesn't work quite right on Discworld.
What Discworld, I mean, it's a fantasy world, but after about 10 books, I think Pratchett starts using it as a lens to kind of look at issues that we have on our planet now.
Yeah.
So rather than have racism between different coloured skins, he has speciesism. So you've got the trolls who don't like the dwarves, and both of those species don't like the humans, and then you've got racial tensions like that sort of thing. Or special tensions, I suppose.
Yeah, and there's other species as well that sometimes crop up, like the undead species, or the gnomes, or the goblins in the more recent books.
Yeah, elves.
And gargoyles.
The villains recurring things as well, is that villains don't ever last more than a book, usually.
Normally.
Villains are usually dead by the end of the book.
Normally.
You don't get many recurring villains. Yeah. There were a few. There was the Auditors of Reality, who are a celestial body of accountants.
Yeah, but I don't think they can actually die, so that's probably why they keep turning up.
I don't know if they technically exist. No. They're an odd one, because it's kind of a case of the life is an anomaly on the planet, and it doesn't match up to all the stats of the rest of everything. Everything else is dead, you know. Everything just kind of exists. But then you've got this thing where people are alive, so they count it as a statistical anomaly, and so they try and wipe out Discworld.
Yeah, life kind of messes up all their charts and
leaves the place looking untidy.
Yeah.
And elves, I hear, are a frequently occurring villain, but I haven't read that many books
about
elves.
Yeah, well, the only book I remember them appearing in is one of the Rincewind ones, like the very first, like, Colour of Magic, so I don't know if they keep turning up in the Wizard books. Obviously, I've read a lot less of the Discworld series than you did, because I got into it a lot later. So, I've read like one of the Witch's books, and most of the Watch stuff I've only heard over audio books. So, but I started reading the more recent ones.
I think eventually we'll get around to hearing all of them.
Yeah, eventually.
But it's kind of a case now where I've got the books, I can sit down and read them anytime I want, but who's got time to do that these days?
Yeah, so it's nice to have something on in the background.
Have something on in the background, and you're technically reading at the same time, you know, multitasking.
Yeah. It's technicality, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, at some point I'll probably get another audiobook for a different series.
So what's your main recommendations, you know, top 10 for Discworld?
Top 10. Anything involving the Watch, so guards, men-at-arms.
Fifth Elephant, you really enjoyed?
Jingo comes before that.
Yeah.
Fudd.
Yeah, Snuff. Fudd's a really good one. I think Fudd was probably one of the first books I've read.
My recommendation is, if you want to get into Discworld, don't read the first five books.
No. Save that for later.
When Pratchett started out the series, it was just so he could make mockery of his favourite fantasy authors.
Yeah.
So there's references to, you know, there's in-jokes that you wouldn't get unless you were heavily into fantasy fiction.
Yeah, but the dwarfs are very much like the Tolkien dwarfs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Nearly said elves then, that was elves. Weird.
Well, elves are kind of like talking elves as well.
Yeah, although I haven't seen enough of the elves to really compare them to, because they don't turn up that often, really.
When I say references to fantasy as well, I'm not even talking like, oh, a mild reference to Tolkien. I'm talking about books I've never heard of, because I've looked at websites where they annotate the annotated Pratchett and stuff like that, where they talk about the first few books, and there's books with names on there that you wouldn't know unless you're a heavy fantasy reader. You probably get a kick out of some of the in jokes, but I'd skip the first five, and even then probably start with Mort. I think that's the third book actually. Mort was good.
Mort was good.
That's about when Death takes on the apprentice.
Yeah.
Because he's overworked.
Yeah.
I think he wants to get out of the job, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he trades the apprentice out.
I don't know if so much he wanted to get out of the job as more if he wanted to be able to go out and experience other things
life.
For a while. And then he does.
Death
and it's
wanted to experience life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's followed up by Reaper Man, which I still haven't read for... I read it ages ago, but I can't remember anything about it.
That's one that...
Where he gets replaced.
But when I first started collecting the Discworld books, it was all the Death stuff that I first started with. So it was Reaper Man and Mort that were probably the first... And alongside Fudd was probably the first couple of books I read, then the first Witch book. I'm not sure what else I've actually read out of them, but
the witches are pretty funny.
Yeah,
the three witches.
Funny.
You get lines like, "When shall we three meet again?" "Well, I can't do next Thursday, I'm babysitting."
Yeah.
"Can you do next Tuesday?" "Oh, you might just be able to fill it in."
Yeah.
It's difficult to organise the weekly cover meeting when people have got busy lives.
Yeah.
And things like that. That's the kind of odd humour you get in Pratchett.
Yeah.
And it's very, it's inspired, but I think we'll talk about more on that in detail next week, or possibly a week out. I'm not sure if we're going to do this bi-weekly, because I think we'll run out of things to talk about quickly.
Yeah. Depends whether or not we're able to watch movies and play games and stuff during the week.
Yeah, if we've got stock of things to talk about, we'll talk about it next week, otherwise we'll leave it to the week after.
Yeah.
I think we should just close this session now, but we're going to do a couple of plugs first, I think.
Yeah, we
don't just do podcasts. Very, very badly planned podcasts. We do other things.
Because Sean is a very good writer, and I like to think I'm an accomplished artist, although I haven't actually accomplished much. So,
which one of those things is like, are you an author? Yes, I am. Have you a published author? Well, it depends. I'm self-published. How hard to go with this?
Well, we're not even self-published. We just have some stuff on the internet
that's self-published.
Well, it's not. Not only do people say self-published, I mean, here's a hard copy of something you can actually hold in your hands.
I think that's going the way of the dodo. I think give it a few more years.
Well, there's always someone who likes to actually be able to experience the book by actually holding a book, a solid object. A few of our friends have said that they want to read our stuff, but they're holding off until it's actually...
Because reading off a screen isn't very pleasant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've read... One of my favourite books of all time is John Dies at the End, which was a web serial. It's one of those things where if it's good enough and you start reading it on the screen, you don't mind so much. You will spend hours looking at this PDF and scrolling down sort of thing.
I do enjoy reading the stuff we've written so far. Our main actual story project is Tales of Sin, which is...
We've got two or three of those going on at the same time.
Yeah, although only two of the stories so far is up on the website.
Yeah. If you go to www.painful.co.uk/tales-of-sin,
or just go to the main site and then click
the
Tales of Sin.
Scroll down a bit, click on the link to Tales of Sin. Oh, yeah, it's actually on the main bar, isn't it?
Yeah, main bar.
If you go to that area, there's kind of a mini site there where we collect all the stories, and they're serialized.
It's got artwork, and every so often we link to musical accompaniments and stuff. So
it's a bit of an odd concept, I know, but we like to have a bit of music for certain bits, because we do this thing where we hear music and we think, that'd be a really good backing track for this situation.
It adds to the atmosphere.
Or sometimes it distracts me. You don't have to listen to the music.
You can turn it off.
Leave it off. We've got two stories at the moment, which is a Merc's Tale and a Mercenary's Tale.
Which is something we first wrote when we were about 17, and it's part of how we first met or first started becoming friendly to each other, because it started off as a game on a forum that Sean started.
Things got out of hand.
Yeah, so
plot and characters got added at last minute.
Yeah, before we knew it, it was just the two of us writing it, and we were really enjoying it. I was drawing the characters, and yeah, it was just something we really enjoyed.
And then we also got the Hitman's Tale, which was my kind of little baby, really.
Yeah.
So those are coming up.
I added some stuff to it, but you're the main author of it.
So give those a read if you get a chance, because a new entry coming up soon. And then the other thing we're working on at the moment is the Two Doctors World Tour. The Two Doctors Dimensional Temporal World Tour, because I couldn't pick a simple name for that. I had to go really long-winded, like the Two Doctors themselves.
Yeah, which is a webcomic sort of DD artist exchange kind of thing.
Yeah, I basically collaborated with a whole bunch of artists and friends, colleagues, people I've met over the internet to tell the story about these two mad scientists trying to take over the world with their TARDIS.
Well, Time Machine is not it's not a proper TARDIS, it's probably a reference.
It's a blue box, it's close enough.
Yeah. We're not quite as reliable as a TARDIS, so considering how reliable the TARDIS actually is, that's probably saying something.
But the format of that is it's a new page every week on DeviantArt, and we link to it. It's on my Twitter if you sign up to my Twitter account off the website, or I post it on Facebook and Google Plus anyway.
Yeah, and then you're also putting the pages up on the Two Docs area of the website as well.
There's a dedicated area of the website. If you go to the main website, scroll down to where it says the Two Doctors.
Or just click on comics, and we've got about three different comic series on there at the moment, because there's Deathlurks, Wright Brothers, and the Two Doc stories.
Scroll all the way down to the Two Doctors, and the one you want is the one with the world tour in it.
Yeah, the big purple button.
And they're on the big garish pink website. That's the entire archive so far. And that gets updated along with every time a new entry's added to DeviantArt. Yeah. I credit people, you know, they're happy for it to be up there, so.
Yeah.
I'm getting a kick out of it. I hope other people get a kick out of reading it at some point, but we'll see.
So we're about one story into that, and I'm putting the art up to close the story at the moment, and then we're going to be going on to the second chapter.
Yeah, it's end of chapter 2, and then we're going on to chapter 3 next, in about 5 weeks' time or something like that.
Yeah.
With my New Zealand colleague, Jason McFadden, who's a funny bloke.
Very funny bloke.
Scary as well, but in a good way. I think he just stepped out of the 1890s, to be honest.
Yeah, very big horror and basically he likes the Cthulhu mythos and kaijus and all that kind of stuff, so all that fun stuff.
So we might have some of that in store for the Two Doctors storyline next. And then we've even got the next one planned off that, but we won't mention that yet. Yeah. So I think we'll draw it to a close then. This is this week's painful pot explosion.
Yeah, so we're signing off, I suppose.
Yeah, signing off, and we'll either be back next week or the week after.
Yeah.
Have a good one. Peace out, guys.
Yeah, peace out.